Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
This is Squawk Pod. I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on our podcast, Get Your Popcorn, famed short seller Jim Chanos.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
He's been tweeting about AMC as long as the Reddit apes have been trading it.
The reality is things have gotten worse at this company from the depths of the pandemic on January 1st.
All through the unlikely journey for the movie theater chain.
That's the problem with meme stock trading.
And where Chanos bets it's going next.
Is your call that the stock will go down, or is your call that the stock should go down?
Movies, memes, risky money from the LeBron James of short selling.
Nothing makes a difference. It's just what is it then? What is this?
They'll blame Wall Street, I suspect, if they lose money. If you keep doing dumb things, if you keep saying, I'm a nihilist, I eat crayons, I don't care about this, I don't care about that. Well, if you end up losing money, you only have yourself to blame.
It's Wednesday, August 11th, 2021.
I don't even know where to start.
Squawk Pod begins right after this.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Welcome back to Squawk Pod from CNBC. And today on the pod, AMC and the apes. The movies and the meme stocks. Movie theater chain AMC Entertainment reported earnings Monday. A loss, but a little better than what was expected. CEO Adam Aron said the company still has challenges ahead, but it could post a profit as soon as the fourth quarter, if the domestic box office reaches at least $5.2 billion. That would give AMC theaters enough to cover expenses. So that's a big if. Many Americans have not been to the physical movie theater in a very long time due to the pandemic. Through this past weekend, box office revenue this year stands at $1.7 billion. Now, there are a lot of movies coming out in the fourth quarter, the holiday season, but is it enough? AMC also reached a deal with Warner Brothers to showcase all of the studio's 2022 slate in theaters for 45 days, trying to reverse the streaming reliance of pandemic movies. Adam Aron has embraced AMC's memeability with retail traders this year who have poured billions into the stock.
I look at these millions of individual investors as who really came on the scene just in the last 6 months. They're the owners of my company. They don't work for me, I work for them. They're my bosses.
In his earnings conference call,
greetings and welcome to the AMC Entertainment second quarter 2021 earnings webcast.
Aron took questions from a lot of individual traders and just one from a Wall Street analyst. And lastly, because the future is here, AMC announced it will accept Bitcoin as payment for movie tickets and snacks. So, quite a show. We get into all of that today with Andrew Ross Sorkin and Melissa Lee. here's Andrew.
And then they're the apes. Let's talk about the apes, Melissa. You were on the air, I think, Melissa, but, you know, during this call, Adam is talking about Bitcoin. He's referencing SPACs. He's taking questions about whether he's going to do a joint venture with GameStop.
And I cannot even count the number of times already that our shareholders have asked us to reach out and partner with GameStop. We're on the case. More to come.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay. Here's a question for you. If you had to grade Adam Aron with how he handled his majority shareholder base, which is retail investors,
genius.
What grade would that be?
An A plus.
Exactly.
An A plus, 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 plus.
Exactly.
But I am very concerned, and I know the apes aren't concerned, and they think that I'm somehow shilling for the man or something when I say this.
Stoking
I'm concerned
FPG.
That Adam Aron is taking advantage of you, apes. That's what's happening here. I don't see it any other.
Advantage or the incentives are aligned. If both parties want to see this company succeed and survive, their interests are aligned anyhow. So is that really taking advantage of a shareholder base?
Well, hold on. One is the other thing that was mentioned, I think, was this idea that he may sell shares in the company.
Right.
That they may put together one of these 10b5 programs where he's going to set his schedule to sell shares. So let's be honest about, you know, how aligned everybody ultimately becomes in all of this. You know, maybe they're not taking advantage. Maybe this is they're all aligned in a collective delusion. I'm not sure what version of it you want me to describe here, but there's something, you know, that's more than a little off. So he said that for them to reach profitability, they're going to have to the box office is going to have to hit $5.2 billion,
which is
they're
aggressive.
At 1.7 right now. So check your calendar and you tell me whether that the business basically has to be less
difficult.
Than 16%
off the other question.
For the rest of the year.
80% of shareholders are retail. Are those retail investors in it for the goal of hitting profitability by the end of the year?
Is that their goal? I don't know what their goal is.
No, I mean, but if you talk to any of the apes and the so-called, I don't want to say leaders of the apes, but the ones who are most outspoken in terms of making the case for the ape army, the goal of profitability is not in anybody's sights. It has nothing to do with the movement of the stock and where the stock could go. So setting forth a profitability target is almost moot. The fact that it's unreachable or unthinkable that it would be reachable to hit 5.2 by the end of the year, that doesn't make a difference here in this bull case for this reality.
But what makes a difference? And nothing? Nothing makes a difference? It's just what is it then? What is this?
That's
what
an existential question, Andrew. What it is a stock that is at where it is, and nobody thought it would still be here. It was off the highs, obviously, but nobody thought it would still be here 36, you know, or in the 40 range, sort of, for this long. No one thought that, did they?
I don't disagree with you. I very much recognize that the stock is where it is, and there it has value insofar as you can sell the stock right now and somebody will send you cash for the value of that stock. I'm just wondering what the end game is here. That's the part that I have yet to fully appreciate.
They're waiting for the mother of all short squeezes.
We also know that there's not this short interest in this company has not increased. It's actually gone down over time. So it's the short squeeze thesis, it becomes harder to execute, if you will.
That's a whole other rabbit hole in terms of the belief that there are synthetic shorts out there in the market. So short interest doesn't reflect
that there's
the
a whole
short,
I know.
Interest. Yeah, I know you know. See, the thing is that we know. I'm just presenting
We know.
We know all this. But this is what the stock is. This is what the story is right now. So
but
you
know
can
what?
Come if up the, with if your fundamental the, analysis, and that is valid, and it's a model, and I respect the numbers, and I respect the assumptions there, but this is a stock story. The charts tell you
If you told me that the AMC shareholders were going to approve the company's ability to continue to sell shares and raise cash, I actually would feel differently, because I think that you could almost, through this sort of collective whatever, you could manifest your own destiny by continuing to raise cash constantly and then be able to buy something and be able to pay all the debt down. And you could actually manifest your own destiny. And by the way, you could argue that Tesla in its own way was in its own way uniquely able to manifest its own destiny. A company that didn't have enough cash flow to run the business, but was able to...
They leaned into it. They issued shares.
Get the support of their own shareholders.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, which is very different, I would also just suggest, than Amazon. I know people oftentimes look at companies at one point and they say, well, look, you know, 20 years later, Amazon did very well. Amazon raised money once. Once. They raised money once. And then they actually were cash flow positive. Now, they weren't, you know, making huge profits constantly, obviously, but it was a very different scenario. So,
well, I think the retail shareholder base, first of all, didn't actually cast the vote. Adam Aron scrapped it ahead of the vote in terms of issuing new shares. I mean, that is a question to ask Adam Aron.
You don't believe that he pulled that because he didn't think he could get it?
He pulled it because he said, well, at the time he tweeted that it would be divisive, that there was a lot of backlash within the retail community, et cetera. But what is that actual calculation when a CEO says, we need money, but we're going to scrap this offering anyway? There's got to be a game plan here, right? So I wonder what that is. That's a chess move.
Do you know, I got a little bit of hate online, and I'm sure there'll be more this morning. Do you know any Bitcoin investors who are looking forward to selling their Bitcoin so that they can use it to buy
a $12 movie ticket?
To buy film tickets? Does that make any sense to you?
Or a $5 popcorn? No.
Does that make sense to you?
Not necessarily.
Just checking. I didn't know. Sometimes it's a little Alice in Wonderland over here.
So, retail traders, apes, if you're out there, sounds like a lot of people are issuing you a warning, from the SEC to the Squawk Box studio in Times Square. Meme stock plays are not all fun and games. At least, that's what the institutions on Wall Street will tell you. For example, right now, many investors, Redditors, apes, are waiting for a turnaround in AMC stock, which would prompt, as Melissa mentioned, the MOAS, or the mother of all short squeezes. A short squeeze is risky. Remember, at the beginning of this journey through the market jungle, GameStop, Robinhood, Clover Health, millions made and lost in minutes. So, as short interest in AMC rises, we turned to a man called the LeBron James of short selling, who has been tweeting warnings to AMC apes for months. Jim Chanos, founder of Kinnikos Associates, Wall Street's catastrophe capitalist, dialed into our TV broadcast to talk all things meme in movie theaters. Here's Andrew.
You have been watching this meme stock phenomenon for quite some time now. I think somewhat baffled, as I have been, but I'm curious how you see the earnings report and the support that AMC seems to be getting from its retail shareholder base.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Andrew. It's good to be back. Well, of course, the retail base is crucial to all the meme stocks, and particularly AMC. And the CEO played that up on the call, as he probably should. The problem, of course, is that everybody is looking at this versus last year and versus the street's expectations more recently. But, of course, as in any of these sort of reopening stocks, you really have to kind of compare them to 2019, pre-pandemic. And in that case, AMC's revenues were down 70% in the second quarter versus second quarter 2019. Their ticket sales were down 75%. And to put that in perspective, if you look at it versus another reopening play that we know something about, Planet Fitness, which is, you know, gyms have had their own issues, as have movie theaters. Planet Fitness reported yesterday, and their revenues were down 25% versus the second quarter of 2019. And that's a little bit more representative of a lot of the reopening type plays that we're seeing. So something else is happening in movie theaters. And I think, as probably others have pointed out to you, what has changed is, of course, the difference in streaming by the studios and the fact that some of the major studios now are releasing blockbuster movies to home view at the exact same time they're putting them in the theaters. And that's something that's changed.
So, Jim, though, when you think about the fact that Adam Aron says, look, we have $2 billion of liquidity. I think they have about $815 million, $813 million of cash on hand. And he says it's possible that they could reach profitability by the end of this year. That assumes, though, that the box office total reaches a little over $5 billion. Is that a realistic possibility?
Yeah, well, let's put expectations into sort of perspective here. At the beginning of this year, when AMC's stock was trading at $2, the expectations for revenues for AMC were $3.5 billion this year. Today, those same Wall Street expectations for this year are $2.4 billion. On January 1st, the company was supposed to be EBITDA positive for the year to the tune of about $50 million. That estimate is now negative $500 million. And then adjusted net income, which benefits obviously from the increased share count, I should note, was supposed to be almost $800 million in the red on January 1st for the company. It's now supposed to be negative $1.5 billion in the red. So, I mean, the reality is things have gotten worse at this company from the depths of the pandemic on January 1st. And so clearly, again, something has changed, I think, and that change is streaming. We'll see. The latest box office numbers have been running down anywhere from 50 to 70% this summer from 2019's level. The U.S. box office was about $11 billion in 2019, and AMC had about a 45% market share. They did about $5 billion in revenues. So you can kind of run through the numbers. If they are running down 50 to 60%, they're going to be doing somewhere around $2.5 billion, possibly even less, in revenues on a run rate basis. And there's just no way they can be profitable. They have interest expense of almost $100 million a quarter and depreciation and amortization of $100 million. At their peak year 2019, they did $660 million
right.
EBITDA. If they got back to that, Melissa, they would be losing almost $200 million a year.
And I respect the analysis, Jim. I do, and I see it clearly. But at the same time, is your call that the stock will go down, or is your call that the stock should go down? Because they're two different things. As you know, stocks can often be completely divorced in terms of their movement from the reality of the company. And so what are we looking at here? Because in a way, you know, I get us trying to wrap our heads around this company that is losing money, burning cash with this stock price, but it is what it is, and it's got an 80% retail shareholder base, which doesn't care about whether it ever hits profitability right now.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because what it does seem to care about is what I've commented on publicly and online, and that is things like short interest, dark pools, fail to delivers, and all of the sort of market structure stuff that the AMC apes jump up and down about. The problem with that is that they're wrong about that as well. The short interest has dropped in the last 6 weeks from over 100 million to a little under 80 million. Short position could be covered in less than a day at current volumes. But here's the funniest thing of all. Even if you liked the idea of retail and that movies are coming back and that the bears are always wrong, why wouldn't you buy Cinemark trading at $14 or $15, which had the exact same cash flow, EBITDA in 2019, as AMC did, has a market capitalization, including debt, excluding leases, of right now about $4 billion versus AMC's valuation of $25 billion, and trades at six times EBITDA from 2019 versus AMC's almost 30 times. And the best part of all, Cinemark has the same amount of short interest as a percent of the shares outstanding as AMC does. So explain that one.
I have no explanation, but are you short AMC, Jim? Would you go in that trade, or do
we
you
have a
recognize
small, we
that
have
it's
a,
difficult?
We have a small put position, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. You do. Would you concede that what happened in GameStop? I mean, in terms of the tech, I mean, I understand you don't get what they see in terms of the short interest, et cetera. But would you have conceded that the GameStop trade was clever in terms of seeing the short interest and riding that?
Being short GameStop at $5 or $10 with 140% of the shares outstanding short was never a good trade. And right. We were not involved, and we wouldn't have been involved. That is simply different. This is something quite a bit different. This is a stock that is already up 18-fold this year. I sort of have pointed out, as a few people have picked up on, the apes who are just outraged that this stock could actually trade down on any given day and cheer when it trades up that the shorts are on the run is kind of interesting, given that the short squeeze may have already happened with the stock up 18-fold this year. And compared to GameStop, up sevenfold this year. So again, I think people are investing or trading in this stock not only for the wrong reasons, but for misguided reasons. I'll give you one more thought experiment, Melissa. Say this stock dropped 80%, and the short interest dropped commensurately 80%. Would the apes like it more or less at $7?
Jim, let me ask you a separate, it's a good thought experiment. I'm thinking about Adam Aron.
But I don't want any of you ever to think that I have anything but full confidence in AMC's future.
He plans to set up a 10b5-1
plan where I pass off all the share trading control of the shares that I own or am granted to an independent third-party bank based on parameters of the plan that I only partially set.
What's your reaction to that decision?
Well, first of all, he has every right to do so, and I actually know Adam. He's a fellow in the Jeff Sonnenfeld CEO Summit that I know you attend as well, and I think he's done the right moves for the company in terms of selling equity. I think he probably would wish, from a corporate point of view, he could sell more equity right now and retire more debt, and that's what he should do. As it relates to his personal holdings, look, why should he be different than any of the other AMC insiders? Most of the other executive suite has sold large amounts of stock, including the chairman, the president of Dolly and Wanda. They sold all their shares a few months ago. So, I guess you can't begrudge him trying to get liquid in some of his holdings as well.
But what does that say about his alignment with these shareholders?
Well, look, I mean, he's clearly aligned right now, but you never want to see a CEO selling, large amounts of stock. The other executives have sold large amounts of their holdings. Adam has not. So that's probably a good question for him.
What would you ask him? What do you think that shareholders should know?
Well, like anything, I'm a fundamentalist. So I would love to know what his outlook is for 2022 as we're starting to see other companies kind of come to grips with their business. And in fact, will the domestic box office ever get back to $11 billion as it reached in 2019? I don't think it will. But obviously, I'd like to hear his feelings about that. And then what are the plans for the capital structure? I know that the shareholders don't want to issue more stock, but he could issue convertibles. He could try to issue do deals for equity. I mean, what are his thoughts on the restrictions in the capital structure since again, anyone who has a sharp pencil will realize you should be selling equity here to retire debt and other long-term obligations.
Maybe even a dull pencil at this point. Jim, I'm wondering if you had commentary on the overall meme stock craze. And I know AMC is very specific in terms of the mechanics of this particular trade, but do you think that there's danger in this? And I ask you this because, obviously you're a fundamental investor. There are a lot of people who use fundamentals in their analysis of stocks and in their mode of investing, but there are plenty who don't. There are plenty who use simply momentum, and they use algorithms, and they use all sorts of other things that fundamentals cannot necessarily explain. Couldn't this just be another form of trading?
Well, it's always been another form of trading. The problem is when that goes wrong, the stocks tend to trade, you know, at or below their fundamental value. So the question is, how much risk are you taking for those other forms of trading in case you're wrong? And that's, you know, investing is not easy. And if you become a financial nihilist, as I've called, where you basically say, I don't care about fundamentals. I know this stock is 10x overvalued. But, you know, the shorts are wrong or there's fails to delivers or whatever your rationale is. That's all well and good. But what is the risk you're taking if you should be wrong? There's no margin of safety. And I think that's the problem with meme stock trading, is that if it turns out you're wrong or the crowd moves on to something else, your downside can be dramatic. And one other point about that, where I think the sort of retail crowd gets it wrong about hedge funds and short sellers and the rest of the evil villains that they point to. In our case, our AMC position is less than 1% of our net assets. And for a lot of hedge funds, a short position might only be 1 or 2% of assets. For retail traders, a stock like AMC could be half their portfolio or a third of their portfolio or, God forbid, 100% of their portfolio. So the risk that they're taking is far, far greater should they be wrong. Of course, so is the reward if they're right. Mm-hmm. But again, those are risk levels that I think are really kind of high wire acts. And if you're not correct or markets prove you wrong or begin to trade down for some macro reason, what kind of risks are you taking? Can you afford to lose that money? And that's what worries me about what I see with retail traders today.
So it sounds like you really think that the apes are, in fact, dumb money.
I didn't say that, Melissa. But what I'm saying is I think they're not cognizant of all the risks they're taking in these positions. And again, they'll blame Wall Street, I suspect, if they lose money. And that's one of the things I keep trying to point out. That if you keep doing dumb things, if you keep saying, I'm a nihilist, I eat crayons, I don't care about this, I don't care about that, well, if you end up losing money, you only have yourself to blame.
Hey, Jim, just wanted to talk about that alignment issue that Adam Arons may or may not have with his shareholders. A lot of people talking about that now online, given the conversation we're having. Earlier this year, it appears that he gifted millions of dollars of shares to his sons. Those shares are now worth tens of millions of dollars. What happens if he gives shares to his family effectively to sell, and do they have to disclose when they sell?
Again, you're asking the wrong guy.
Separately, let me ask you a different question that has nothing to do with AMC, which is Tesla. And we've talked about Tesla for a very, very, very long time. You have been a bear on Tesla. And yet they have, and the company and its shareholders have effectively manifested their own destiny, in part by continuing to raise cash throughout, putting themselves in a position to have success. How much do you believe that can be a model for other companies now that we're into this unique moment where retail traders seem to be willing, in certain instances, to put up that cash?
Yeah. So George Soros wrote about this years and years ago in a book. It took me about three times to sort of get through the theory of reflexivity in finance, whereby, you know, rising stock prices can be self-reinforcing, particularly in troubled companies, if you could use it to raise capital, like AMC has done. It's a good example. But the other thing I've pointed out is that, you know, the Wall Street it also has a printing press in addition to the Fed. And if you get prices high enough, you're going to see lots and lots of equity issuance, not only for companies that can put it to good use, but for all kinds of sort of questionable business plans and outright scams. And I think that is sort of where we are now. We're getting into money being raised for all kinds of things that probably aren't at the end of the day going to be productive, but might line the pockets of the promoters doing it. And I think that, so there's a difference in taking that money and putting it to work in factories, whether the factories are, you know, make profitable products or not, and doing some of the other things that we're seeing happening, say, for example, in the crypto space, or in some of the more questionable SPACs, And I think that's just going to go on as long as these markets stay pretty ebullient. I think we're going to see more and more of that kind of issuance in 2021 and 2022.
Do you see, the interest among retail investors as healthy for the market? I think, you know, we talked to Gary Gensler last week about the role of retail investors in the market. And there's a lot of people who look at this as a positive, to have people more engaged.
Yeah, offense is people selling them stock. But I mean, the problem with getting more people, the retail involved, is it always seems to happen toward the end of every cycle, right? I mean, retail wasn't there in 2009 at the bottom. They weren't there in 2002 after the dot-com bubble collapsed. They were certainly there in 1999. And so the problem in the last few cycles, as I see it, is that we get promoters and insiders and people have done very well cashing out as retail is buying. And that's why I think you see some of this sentiment from the apes in going back to AMC's case on how, you know, the game is rigged against me. Well, the game would appear to be rigged against you if you keep coming in and buying things 10 times what they're worth, and then take the loss and say, well, you know, this was Wall Street doing me in again. That's the problem. I think for the average investor who invests through the cycles, dollar cost averages, invests through their 401k, keeps their fees down, we should have everybody investing. But when we start speculating, you know, in various different cryptos and questionable coins, the sixth SPAC that some guy puts out, the 48th different electric vehicle charging company going public, you know, that's when things start to get dicey, in my opinion. And I think we're well into that part of the cycle. And I just think that the last group of retail investors coming in are probably going to learn a hard lesson again.
I guess I'm not going to ask you if you own Doge, Jim. But more broadly, as a short seller, I'm wondering, with the markets close to record highs, how are you seeing the opportunity to short? Do you have dry powder ready to go? Do you think the opportunity is going to be soon?
Well, I think like a lot of short sellers, obviously what happened in January caught our attention. We had one of the Archegos stocks that we couldn't figure out why it was going up every single day. Until it collapsed in March, it was really kind of crazy. So, like a lot of fundamental bears or hedge fund players, we reduced the size of our short positions and the nature of them by trying to limit the risks, whether by using options or keeping positions lower than we normally would. But the flip side of it is we have more names. There's a lot more to do.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I would point out to your audience that the things that were really questionable in the dot-com era that we sort of all remember fondly, like pets.com and other sort of oddball kinds of things, back then they were sort of $1 to $2 billion market caps, if you go back and look at them. Obviously not the AOLs or the Ciscos, but the more questionable things that came out at the end of the cycle. Today, those same types of stories in our world are $10, $20, and $30 billion, sometimes even more. And that's a meaningful difference in this cycle than in past cycles. The size of the companies and the ideas and the concepts that are being floated for unprofitable companies or companies that will, you know, hopefully make money in 2030 is in many cases 10 to 20x what it was in 1999. And that's saying something.
Jim Chanos, we appreciate you calling in today and providing us with your perspective as always. And we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Hope to do it in person sometime soon, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the summer.
Really appreciate it.
Squawk Pod will be right back.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Methane management is a critical part of achieving a lower carbon future. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. They're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. And they've trialed over 13 advanced detection technologies, including drones and satellites. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.
And that's the podcast for today. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern. And if you are a regular listener of Squawk Pod, let us know what you think. On Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating or write a review.
A plus. An A plus 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 plus.
And share this podcast with a friend. Thanks for being here and for tuning in. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.